Now, I don't know, for many of you, you had some great victories in 2017. How many had some good victories in 2017? But with as many people as we had the first service, with as many people as we have here, with as many people as coming tonight, my thought is that amongst us all, and listen, and it doesn't mean that just because you had maybe had some setbacks in 2017, it doesn't mean that you had some victories also. But my thought is, as many people as here now in this body, that 2017, we have experienced some setbacks in 2017. How many would raise your hand and say, Pastor, there was some, some setback. Okay, so we understand that. And I don't know what those all were, you know what I mean? For many of you, you lost a loved one. I lost my dad in 2017, you know what? And my dad was, oh my goodness, I said it as, at his memorial service, I have known no man as godly as my dad. You say, well, yeah, but that's your dad. I know, but if you knew my dad, you'd probably say the same thing. He was just a very, very, very godly man. And to lose somebody like that, it wasn't a little deal. It was a big deal. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you've gone through a divorce. Maybe you have had a diagnosis. Maybe you went through a medical situation. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe you just went through a funk and you just felt like, man, I just can't seem to get my game on. You know what I mean? I can't seem to get my groove on, or whatever the young people say. I don't know what your setback was. And we'll look at it, because for some of you, your setback was based on some bad choices that you made. Can somebody relate? For others, it didn't have anything to do with bad choices that you made. It just had to do with some bad choices that somebody else made. Hello. You can experience a setback, and it might not have anything to do with choices you made or other people made. Just you're living life. How many just know in life sometimes you can be driving, and not because anything you did wrong, but you just got a flat tire. Amen? See, we don't live in a perfect world. We live in a world that's been corrupted by sin. And so to be in that world, sometimes we just deal with stuff. But what I want to talk to you today about is turning your setback into your comeback. Turning your setback into your comeback. And here's what I want to say right up front. In 2018, there's going to be, listen to me, there are going to be many people who have a comeback. And when I mean comeback, I don't mean to come back to the level that you were. I mean to come back to the level that you were and surpass what your best point. I believe many people, I know for a fact, there will be thousands of people who had challenges in 2017, but 2018, they're going to make a comeback, and they're going to come back better than they ever were before. The question isn't whether there's not going to be comebacks. Here's the question for us today. Whether you are going to be one of the ones who make a comeback. See, that's a question. Because comebacks aren't just coincidental. In other words, and people have this mindset, but I got a good word for you today. People think God just goes, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Oh, praise God, you're a mo. You know what? Well, eeny, meeny, and miny, they're jacked up. But mo, you know what? She blessed of the Lord. You know, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Oh, look, Pastor Tamara's a mo. Woo! You know what I mean? But eeny, meeny, and miny are jacked up. And they walk around thinking that God is a respecter of persons. Like God looks at certain people and says, you're a mo and you're a mo. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Oh, Pastor Lydia, praise God, she's a mo too. But let me tell you what, that's not how God acts. Let me tell you how God does it. He says, mo, 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 mo. Mo, 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 mo. Amen. See, God is not a respecter of persons. He's already, his face already shines upon you. But the question is, you know what? Will you put application to opportunities that are right in front of you to have a comeback in 2018? And here's what I want to go over. And I won't take a lot of time today, but I want to go over some principles. Everybody say some principles. See, listen to me. Just because you're fallen doesn't mean you have to stay down. I said, just because you're fallen doesn't mean you have to stay down. I've fallen and I can't get up. You can get up. Somebody say amen. Some of you young people are like, what is he talking about, falling and I can't get up? Okay. Google it. It was a stupid commercial, but, right? You know, I've fallen and I can't get up. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You can get up. And 2018 can be your best year. You can take that setback and make it a comeback, but you're not going to do it coincidentally. You're going to be on purpose. You have to make a decision. And I want to go over just a couple of principles, because let me tell you what, people who have a comeback, you know what? They put these principles in practice in their life. These principles will be help you, and I want to teach it to you even before we start the new year. The first thing that you have to understand is this. You have to release your regrets. You must release your regrets. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Look what it says. Brethren, I do not count myself as apprehended. Here's what Paul's saying. He's saying, hey guys, I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying I've arrived. But here's what I am saying. I've done some things right. I'm an example to other people. Paul says, follow me as I'm a follower of Christ. He isn't where he was before. Amen? And you might, listen, you might not be where you need to be. But I hope and I pray that you weren't where you were last year. I hope spiritually you're not in the same place. I hope this year you have a more intimate relationship with God than you had last year. Let me tell you what. If you think you're in the same place than you were last year, you are deceived. Because in the spiritual realm, there is no neutral. You can't be the same. You're either growing or you're either getting larger or you're getting smaller. You're either becoming more intimate with God or backing away from the things of God. And there's people, and they think because they're making no effort to move forward that they're not moving. No, you're moving. You're just moving in the wrong direction. Oh, you missed a good time to say amen. You are moving. You're just moving in the wrong direction. It's like that. It's like the whirlpool that if you stop entering in, if you stop making a decision. And we do this all the time. Well, I don't need to go to church. You know, God, you know, I didn't really send me to hell for not going to church. No, but what happens is your mind stops being renewed. See, listen, can I tell you why you're going to have a bad life? It's because you're going to make bad choices. Bad choices, bad life. So you come to church and you make a decision. You know what? I'm not going to miss church. I'm going to let that pastor, you know what, love on me and encourage me and show me some things in the Word of God and sometimes challenge me. I'm going to challenge some of you today. I don't know who this is for, but some of you have been in a neutral stance and you think, no, I'm the same. And I'm telling you, no, you're not. You've gone backwards. And God is saying, hey, no. You need to be proactive in making a decision. The 2018, I'm going to pray more. I'm going to seek God more. You know what? I'm going to just make a decision. My relationship with God isn't going to be casual. It's going to be purposeful. How many eat on purpose? How many eat on purpose? How many eat on? Some of you thinking right now what you're going to eat for lunch. Shame on you. Amen. Shame on you. How many of you eat on purpose? Yeah, you do. You're very purposeful about your physical food. How many of you need to be spirit? We need to be purposeful about our spiritual food. Amen. That's why you need to come to church. You need to focus and say, you know what? No, I'm gonna get a good meal. Amen. Paul says, listen, I'm not the same person I was. I'm not saying I'm all that in a bag of chips, but let me tell you what. One thing I do that's really important is one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. You know, what obstacle hit you in 2017? What setback hit you in 2017? Here's what I want to say. Forget it. I can't forget it. Well, you can do whatever you want to do. Amen. The Bible says, with God, all things are possible. Amen. The Bible says, all things are possible to those who believe. Amen. Amen. You can't forget it, and you won't forget it. But part of the problem is you keep on saying you can't forget it. Amen. How many know sometimes we're our biggest enemy? Amen. You can forget it. Amen. You forgot all kinds of things. Somebody say amen to that. How many have ever forgotten something? Completely. Completely. Yeah, you can forget things. Paul says, let me tell you, I'm forgetting. Let me tell y'all, I'm forgetting who I was. You didn't know Paul was from the South, did you? I'm forgetting who I was. Paul says, I forget who I am, who I was. Well, no. And I'm telling you what, you will not be able to have a comeback unless you let go of your setback. You have to have a willingness to let it go. You have to have a willingness to let it go. You know what regret does? It imprisons you. It imprisons you to guilt, to depression, to self-pity. It imprisons you there. Without releasing your regret, you'll never be able to move forward. You've got to make a decision. You're going to let it go. Number two, you've got to abandon a setback mentality. A setback mentality. What is that? A setback mentality is where you are self-absorbed with you keep on playing over and over in your mind what happened to you last year. It's a mindset, and what you do is you keep on hitting the reverse. You keep on hitting the reverse. You keep on hitting you keep on going over it. And listen, and for many of you, the setback was huge. And that setback, listen to me, had ramifications. You made some bad choices financially, and you had to file bankruptcy, and that filing bankruptcy is having ramifications. You might have been unfaithful in your marriage, and that, you know what, is having ramifications now. Some of these setbacks are real. And so, but let me tell you what, if you're going to move forward, you have to abandon the setback mentality. Can I tell you, let me tell you about the past. It's in the past. And yes, some decisions that you made in the past are going to have ramifications now in the future. But let me tell you about that. At some point in time, if you start to recognize that the rest of your life can be the best of your life, here's what's going to happen. You're going to start sowing seeds of forgiving, and seeds of giving, and seeds of graciousness, and seeds of love, and seeds of compassion. And eventually, because what's happening, you're not feeding that old seed anymore. And what's going to happen is that plant is eventually going to die, and all you're going to have is these seeds and these fruits from these good trees. But you have to, listen, you have to let go of that tree. Let me tell you about a setback mentality. A setback mentality is so harmful. Here's why. Because you can't change the past. How many can change the past? You know what I mean? I wanted to have a scene of that Back to the Future scene. Remember when he has that DeLorean that he made into a time machine? You know what I mean? And what does he say? What's that doctor's name? Dr. Brown. Dr. Brown, you made a time machine out of a DeLorean? How many have a time machine? That's what I thought. We don't have a time machine. We can't go back in the future. We can't correct mistakes that we made. But let me tell you what, if you keep on hanging on to that tree, you know what? You can't move forward. Why? Because you're in the past. And you can't, and watch this, you can't correct the past. You can't change the past. And unless you let go of that past, you're stuck. And not only you're stuck, but you're stuck with the junk. You're stuck with who you were. And God wants you to look at who he wants you to be. Do you understand the difference? I said, do you understand the difference? Lamentations 3, verse 22. I have it up on the screens. Through the Lord's mercies, we're not consumed. Guys, you know what his mercy is? His mercy is where you don't get what you deserve. How many want to not get what you deserve? That's the Lord's mercy. Because of his mercy, listen, yeah, you did it. Yeah, you did it. But you asked for forgiveness and you moved on. You don't have, listen, through his mercies, you won't be consumed. Stop thinking what you did in the past has to just continue. You know, it's that movie, Groundhog's Day. You know, get out of Groundhog's Day. You don't have to keep on living the same day over and over again. That's what happens when you are going to cling to the past. Yeah, you had a setback. But unless you let go of that tree, you're going to stay right there and you won't be able to have a comeback. A setback mentality is where you're self-absorbed. You're self-absorbed. It's all about you. Number one, you have to release your regret. Number two, you have to abandon your setback mentality. Number three, you have to exit the survival mode. What's the survival mode? Here's the survival mode. Survival mode. How many been hurt? How many had somebody else hurt them? Raise your hand, okay? For those who don't have your hand up, I don't believe you. Raise your hand up if you had someone hurt you, okay? So here's what happened. You get hurt from someone, and what you do is you go into a cocoon. Did I say that right? I said that funny, huh? Almost started coughing, huh? You go into this cocoon. You go into your turtle. You know what I mean? You turtle out. You know, and you put your head back in. You know what I mean? That's a good picture, right? You put your head back in. Oh, I'm not going to let. And listen, and I understand it. It's totally understandable. It's a self-protection mechanism that we all do. We've all done it. And listen, for a short period of time, it's probably appropriate for you to do. The problem is when that becomes where you live, where you start to take that mode, that survival mode, and you live there. You have to exit there. You have to say, no. That was what happened. You know what? That God's, you know what it ultimately is? It's ultimately you not having faith in that God can change things. And so what you have to do is you have to wrap yourself. You're like, I'm not going to get hurt. I'm not going to get hurt. I'm not going to get hurt. When you're not going to get hurt, you're just going to keep on living Groundhog's Day over and over and over again. And you'll never have a breakthrough. Let me tell you what. There's opportunities. If you get your head out, yes, we understand you got hurt. And listen, you're going to be hurt again. But how many know the Bible says one of the main ministries of Jesus Christ is that he is a healer of the brokenhearted. Amen. See, can I tell you what? God's love for you can supersede all the disappointment of men around us. And men, they're going to disappoint us. They just are. They make mistakes and they're fallible and they're, and you know what? And sometimes we can be wicked and sometimes we can be harmful and sometimes we can be spiteful and that's how it is. But what happens is when you put yourself in the cocoon, you lose all perspective. And all of a sudden, and I'm telling you what, people who make the cocoon, all of a sudden they start becoming self-righteous. All of a sudden they'll judge, and they'll start making these generalities, you know what I mean? Well, this group is like that, and that group is like this, and this group is like that, and I know. No, listen, we don't need to allow the hurt that we've walked in, that we've experienced, to cause us not to experience the joy of the Lord anymore in our life. The peace of God. You know, the Bible says the peace of God surpasses all understanding, and it will guard your mind, you know what, in your heart. You know, yeah, you can cocoon yourself, but let me tell you what, that's not a life that you want to live. That's not a place you want to go. You want to get out there and say, yeah, you know what, people have hurt me, and people are maybe hurt me in the future. But you know what, with God, all things are possible. I believe that God will heal any of the hurts that I've had in my past, and he'll heal any of the hurts that are going to happen in the future. You can't do that. You cannot. If you're going to walk in a breakthrough, if you want to come back, you can't allow those setbacks to cocoon you in a place where, you know what, you're not going to get hurt anymore. You know what it is? You know what the Bible says? The Bible says in Proverbs that when you isolate yourself, you rage against wisdom. Here's why. You lose all perspective. You lose all perspective. And let me tell you, I'm just being honest. Can I be honest with somebody? You know what? One of the main reasons. Oh, please, please, every single person in this auditorium, if you're watching by Facebook, listen to what I'm saying, because you need to hear this. You know what is the number one reason why people leave churches? Because they've been hurt. Well, what's a pastor supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? Because let me tell you what, people hurt people. Sometimes because they're immature. Sometimes, you ever been driving on the freeway or driving on the road and you cut somebody off, and it wasn't because you meant to. It's just because, you know what, you were too busy jiving with the, you know, grooves of the 70s. You know what I mean? Right? You're jiving and you're like, you know what? You know what? I got about four songs went through my head right now. You know what I mean? But you're just grooving, you know what? You're like, woo, yana, bana, 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 and boom, so you cut somebody off. You didn't mean to. Amen? How many know we got no, remember that scene in the old chocolate factory? And the person would sit on the thing, and they'd either go good egg or bad egg. You know, how many remember this? We don't got no egg meter out there. We don't have people, you know, here before you come in, you stand on the egg meter. We're going to see if you're good or bad. You know what I mean? And we only let good people come in here. Matt, if we only let good people be in here, there'd be nobody in here. Can somebody say amen? We don't got no egg meter back there. Which, what does that mean? It means in our imperfections, in the course of time, I'm going to say something boneheaded, I'm going to do something boneheaded, and you know what? And I'm going to offend you. Can I tell you what? You can't afford to take your ball and go home. Because let me tell you why. It'll cost you way too much. So if I offend you, you know what? Here, let me say it. I'm sorry. I really am sorry. I didn't mean to. No malice. I didn't mean to. Amen. And if somebody else offends you, I'm sorry for them. Amen. But let me tell you what we're not going to do in this church. We're not going to put no egg meter next week. You know what I mean? Amen. Which, what am I saying? I'm just saying, you know what? The number one reason why people stop going, they didn't like this, and I told them to do like this, and they got mad, and I asked them all this stuff, you know what I mean? You can't afford to do that. You have to exit survival mode. You're going to get hurt. That's how it is. You know what? You know, I love using this example. You know, it's in the, you know, football season right now. You know what I mean? Can you imagine a running back, you know what, he hits the hole, the linebacker just nails him. You know what I mean? Can you imagine getting, you hurt. Can you imagine him taking off his helmet? You hurt me. That hurt. You know what? Everybody like, what? His team, get back here. Get your helmet back on. Can't say that. Listen, you're in church. You can't say that. People are going to hurt you. So man up. Get your head back out of your shell. And love again. And forgive people who've hurt you. You know what? You know, I tell you what. This is the truth. Jesus forgave you for everything you did. Can you forgive that person for the three things they did? They didn't do three. They did four. Now we are starting to see the problem here. You are counting. Thou shall not count. You know that's what the Bible says? Don't keep record of things wronged. All right, are you learning something? Okay. Number one, you have to release your regrets. Number two, you have to abandon your setback mentality. Number three, you have to exit survival mode. Number four, this is deep. Number four, you gotta change. Amen. Listen, you want to lose some weight? Here's a deep revelation. Maybe on the way to work, you should stop turning off and going to the donut shop and eating four jelly-filled donuts. I don't know. It's just a thought. I use jelly-filled donuts because I love jelly-filled donuts. Same thing, I love jelly-filled donuts. I could eat five of them. I could eat a... Anyway. But how many know? And this isn't about, who lose weight in 2016. Or it's not about that. It's just about me using an illustration to say, hey, listen, maybe if you wanted to get a little bit more fit, you might want to, you know what, supersede the donut shop. Hello. Hello, somebody. See, the Bible says, don't be deceived. See, we have to be... You want your setback to become a comeback, you have to have a willingness to take inventory of your actions and your behavior. And you have to have a willingness to say, I'm going to change. I love Paul. You know what? He gets, he's persecuting the church. He's doing a lot of things just crazy, wrong. And he gets confronted by God. But listen, it's one thing to be confronted by God. It's another thing to make a decision, to make a change. And here's what Paul says in the book of Acts. Here's what he says in the book of Acts when he is confronted. Guys, go there with me. It's Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, starting with verse 1. And Saul, still breathing threats of murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from them, synagogue of Damascus, so that he would be found any who were on the way, any Christians, there, men or women. I don't even care. You know, I'm going to throw everybody in jail. You know what? I got no mercy on women. He might bring them bound to Jews. I'm going to bound them up. And he journeyed and came to Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And then the Lord said, I'm Jesus, who you are persecuting. Is it hard for you to kick against goats? So he, trembling, astonished, said, and here's what I love. Here's what he says. Lord, what do you want me to do? I mean, one of the greatest revelations in the New Testament is right there. Lord, what do you want me to do? See, can I tell you what? You can come to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Some of y'all believe this has happened. You know what? And your setback happened because you heard from God and it was hard for you to do what he asked you to do. See, has our Christianity got to the place where, yes, we will be obedient to God. We're making an idol. We're making God into some kind of God that, you know what, yes, I'll be obedient. I'm totally a Christian. I totally love the Lord. You know what, and I will do whatever he says as long as it fits in with what I want to do. You are making an image. That is not who God is. God tells Adam, I want you to build a boat, and I want you to make it. Adam didn't build the boat. Okay, I'm just, if you think you found a perfect church, you have not found it. You have not found it. Okay, let me look it up. I'm gonna see this. Oh yeah, Noah. Sorry, I forgot. Okay, so my point is, he says here, he says to Noah, I want you to build a boat, I want you to build like this, and then like this, and like this. Can I tell you what? There's so many things, and here's what he says. He says, Noah, I want you to build a boat. Listen to these words, for yourself. See, God will tell you what to do. And he'll be specific. And there's been some services that you've come to, and I don't know who this is for, but I know I'm being prophetic right now. There's been some services that you've come to, and you've heard what God told you to do. But it was just hard. And so what you did is you're just like, oh, well, thank God. That was probably for him, not me. And it wasn't for him. It was for you. You know what I mean? You know who you're looking at, right? You know who you're looking at, right? You're looking at the best dodgeball player in Catherine Edwards High or Junior High. Right here, I was the best. There was no better dodgeball player than me. Amen. Some of you are like, no, I'm better than you, man. I'm like dodgeball every Sunday. God speaks to me and I just dodge it, man. I'm coming in, you know, I'm chucking and jiving. I'm slick. And you miss it. And you leave, you know what? And you leave the same way you came in, and nothing's changing in your life because you don't have the integrity to say, no, let me tell you what, God, what do you want me to do? And then if you look at the text, when he tells him what to do, he does the very thing he tells him to do. Let me tell you what. God is straight up to people. Maybe he's telling you, for some of you, get off the porn in the internet that you're watching. You're like, man, I don't understand. I don't understand why I don't have a close relationship with my wife. I don't understand. I understand. Because how can you have a close relationship with your wife when you're looking at other women, you know what, on the internet? I'm so glad you came to church. I'm just saying. Listen, I'm not being judgmental towards anybody. I'm not being condescending. I'm not looking at you going, ooh, you know what, you're a bad person. No, you're just making bad choices. Amen? And what I'm saying is, guys, we got this. We got this, but you want an intimate relationship with your wife? You know what? You want your sex to get better with your wife? Pastor, what are you talking about? How many know? You know what? God talks about these things in the Word of God. You want your sex to get really good with your wife? Here, you know what? Get rid of the porn. Amen. Well, she don't even know about it. Your marriage is spiritual, so she might not know about it. First of all, let me just let you know, everything's coming out. Men, listen to me. Everything's coming out. The only question is when it will come out. And for some of you, I'm not talking about when you die before the Lord. I'm talking about there's so many examples of it coming out. And listen, and you can change before, you can just change it now. You can just make a decision to change. So, Pastor, but I've been trying. Well, let me give you a hint. If you'll just spend a little bit of time every day with the Lord, if you just spend a little bit of time, particularly in His Word every day, just read a chapter a day. Just get our app and start following us on our app. We'll tell you every day what to read. Just one chapter. What'll happen is, listen, because here's the deal. You can't change from the outside in. Amen. Pastor, as soon as I get it together, I'm going to start coming back to your church. Well, I'm going to be waiting a long time. Because you don't change from the outside in. You change from the inside out. So just start reading your Bible every day. You know what? And start seeing what God says about you. But you have to make a decision to change. You have to make a decision to change. Number one, release your regret. Number two, abandon your setback mentality. Number three, exit your survival mode. Number four, you've got to make a change. Number five, restore your confidence. Now, this is interesting because when you have a setback, sometimes your confidence can be taken back. Do you understand? Going back to what I just told you to do. When you start looking in your Bible, just reading a chapter a day. Everybody say just a chapter a day. And you start looking and say, oh, look what God says about me here. Oh, wow, trip out, look what God says about me here. Oh, look what God says about me here. See, one of the reasons why you have a warped understanding of who God is or who God thinks about you is because you're not listening to what He says. You listen to other people and Satan, who accuses you all the time. The Bible says every day he's going before God accusing you, the brethren. Every day accusing you. So you start to have this warped mentality of who God. Let me tell you about God. God looks at you and says, man, God looks at Peter and says, oh, man, Peter, I believe in him. I trust in him. He's the man. You know, he's a godly man. He's going to do godly things. He's awesome. I'm proud of him, and I'm totally behind him 100%. That's who God says. That's what God says about Peter all the time. And if you will read the Bible, you'll start seeing page after page, chapter after, here's what you're going to start seeing. Every chapter, you'll start seeing, oh, my goodness, God loves me. Oh, my goodness, God loves me. Oh, my goodness, my sins, God's forgotten. Oh, my goodness, oh, my goodness. You'll start seeing over and over how much God loves you. And you'll get your moxie back. You'll get your groove back. You'll get your confidence back. You know what? Simple, 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 simple. But you have to work. You have to be proactive in getting that confidence back. And finally, you need to restore your dreams. You need to restore your dreams. For some of you, you know what? You've given up in your dreams. You fought for your marriage. But finally, you just think, oh, there's no way. There's no way. Nowhere anything's changing. For some of you, you know what? You've been working in your business over and over and over again. And you know what? And you've had some setbacks. And you just kind of throw your hands up in the air and say, oh, I guess this is how it always has to be. You know what? For some of you financially, you know what? You've gotten yourself in a mess, and you think there's no way I can get out. Can I tell you what? Can you remember when you envisioned you being completely out of debt? Can you remember, if you got to go back to when you first got married? Can you remember that envision that you had? That when your wife, you saw your wife, you're like, oh, you know, your knees almost buckled. You know what I mean? Amen. What is it that you used to dream about? And you've let in Satan through his constant just picking at you and whittling at you and just speaking trash about you. You finally finally just said, oh, I guess that's how it has to be. Let me tell you what. Let me be this person who speaks into your life. Guys, get your dream back. Because let me tell you what, whatever setback you had, that next year can be your comeback. That can be your comeback. And that's who God is. God is, listen, ultimately, you know what comes down to? Will you believe that God is the restorer? Can you believe that God will restore better than ever the things that you have? Because let me tell you what, dreams are absolute. What was your imagination made for? Your imagination, most people don't totally, I'm talking about Christian people. Most Christian people, I believe many, maybe not most, but many, maybe most, use their imagination for the wrong thing. They imagine what'll happen. You know what? As their marriage is going in the wrong direction. They imagine what will happen. You know what? They imagine that someday they'll probably have to file bankruptcy. They imagine, you know what, that maybe, you know what, they're never going to be able to afford a new car. They imagine all this negative. They take your imagination. You know what? You know what fear is? Fear is an imagination, imagining what Satan says about you is going to come true. And that's not what your imagination was created for. Your imagination was created for you to dream. For you to see, for you to come out week after week after week. I used to come out week after week after week, month after month, year after year in the North Sanctuary. North Sanctuary, we could fit probably a less than half of the people in here that we have today. And you know what? And I used to come week after week after week, you know what? And just see just very few people there. And Satan would tell me on the way home, you know what? It is never going to, you know, you're never going to grow this church. You're never going to grow this church. You're never going to grow this church. You're never going to, you know what? Well, what did you do? I said, you know what? Liar, liar, pants on fire. I'll close with this. When Abraham was already old, God promised him to make him a father of many nations. His descendants would be so numerous. And year after year after year after year after year after year after year, you know what? His wife didn't get pregnant. And finally, at one point in time, God speaks to Abraham and says, Abraham, come on out here. And he brings him out here and he says, I want you to look up at the stars. What's he want to do? He wants him to get his imagination. He wants him to get his dream back. Can I tell you what? Get your dream back. Listen, if you don't have a dream, go out to this wall out here before you leave. And allow my dream to become your dream. And let's start to imagine, you know what, an outdoor fellowship center that will be the talk of the town. An outdoor fellowship center that looks like something that they'd build at Disneyland. Amen? Can we not have that? Can we not speak to that? I don't know what your dream is, but whatever it is, you know what? If it's godly of God, I want to believe with you. And let's believe together, you know what, for our dreams. Let's restore those dreams. If you'll do those simple six things, I guarantee you, you'll be one of the ones who will turn your setback into a comeback. And I tell you right now, you know what? That's what's happening to me. Listen, 2018... You know, you can say whatever you want. I'm telling you, 2018 is going to be our best year in Jesus' name. Tim.
Ooh. I was thinking as he was sitting there just how we allow people to affect us so much. And in the morning prayer service, Tyler had shared that the Spirit of God had said to him this morning, he was just encouraging, you know what, as to what can take place and what he wants for the body of Christ. And then he said, if only they knew and believed who I really was, they really understood who I was, they wouldn't give up so easy. They wouldn't settle for where they're at. They would press through if they understood who I was. And when he said that, the Lord just ministered to me that for many of us, there's just a spirit of intimidation that we have allowed to dictate many circumstances in our life. As we think through thoughts given to us by the enemy, well, that will never change. Well, this is going to be like this because, well, it's always been like this. It's been too long. You know, what about this? What about that? And we allow the enemy to intimidate us and take from us that which God has for us. And we need to rise up and begin to take back ground that we've been giving up as we've allowed this spirit of intimidation to prophesy to us what's going to be, instead of allowing God to say what's going to be. I thought about, you know what, how just the enemy works the same all the time. The very things that are challenges to us, that we allow the enemy to rip us off, are the same things that Jesus went through. As you were preaching right here at the end, the Lord took me to this scripture where Jesus is ready. He's in the garden. He's ready to go through. This is it. You know what? He's very, very upset about what is going to take place. He has his disciples who they're his friends. They've spent much time together. He's been there for them. And now he needs, I mean, really, what can we really do for Jesus if you think about it? How did those guys, you know what, when they could really minister to him, when he asked them, hey, pray with me because the time has come and they're going to come and get me and it's time that I go to the cross. These are the same people who are saying, no, you'll never go to the cross. Instead of, do you understand? Everything that we go through as people close to us, they hurt. It hurts. So he goes to them several times. Wake up. Why aren't you with me? I need your help. Then he finally tells them, look at this. I touched my phone and I did something, so give me just a GIF. Because I snapped a picture of it, because I know me. All right. And it says, then he came to the disciples and said, go ahead and sleep. Because he goes to them, he wants their help. He goes to them, he wants their help. And every time he's asking for their help, they just end up continuing to sleep. So then he comes to them and he says, you know what? Go ahead and sleep. Have your rest. But look, the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Here comes my betrayer. He gets over it. Do you understand that? Listen, and here's a beautiful thing. He had God with him. We have the same thing. Whatever the circumstances are, you know what? We have God that whoever is betraying us, whoever is not there for us, whoever is hurting us, whatever disappointments that we have, we have God that we can persevere through whatever the situations are, and continue to just move forward to that which God has for us. And if we hold on to him, all things are possible. There's nothing that we're going to give up. As a matter of fact, you know what? We're going to turn a lot of things around as we just begin to push back on that intimidation who is trying to rob from us, you know what, that which God has. Amen? So I love what Pastor Drew shared. Jesus is the healer of the brokenhearted. And as we have these hurts and these circumstances that we go through in our life, disappointments, do you think Jesus was disappointed that they weren't there for him? Do you think Jesus was disappointed that he had to go through that all by himself? Of course he was. You know what? But he still persevered on, you know what, and didn't allow those circumstances to intimidate that which God had called him to. And that's what we need to do this next year. We just need to push away that intimidation. And as we do that, we are going to not only have many victories in our life, but we're going to gain a lot of ground that we've been giving up. Amen? Amen.